This morning, we're going to talk a little bit about God's grace and five aspects of it that I went too far. Five aspects of His grace that I feel they're important for us to know. As I was looking for a definition of grace, I didn't take too long. I found out there's many definitions out there for grace. But I found two that I feel like are good descriptions of His grace. The first one is, grace is the freely given, unmerited favor and love of God. It's unmerited, so we have done nothing to deserve it. The second definition I have is my favorite. It actually hangs on the wall in our house. And I bought this wall hanger for my wife several years ago. It's probably been 10 years or more. I'm really not sure, to be honest with you. But grace, manifestations of God's love, mercy, and favor, unexplainable, unexpected, undeserved. We don't deserve, nor have we done anything to deserve God's grace. For example, some believe that we're saved by grace when we believe in God, when in fact we are saved because of what God did, not because of what we did. He sent His only Son to die on the cross for our sins. We have to make the choice to follow Him, be baptized, and live a Christian life. And that's where we're going to start this morning. God's grace. It's by God's grace that we are alive today and that we are offered the gift of eternal life. It's by His grace that we are saved. And we can see that in Romans chapter 3, verse 23 through 24. For all have sinned, come short of the glory of God, and being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Let's also look at Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. We've all sinned, and we're not deserving of eternal life, but it's by God's grace and mercy that He sent His only Son to die on the cross for our sins. But just to compare two of these verses, let's look back at Romans 3 and 24. It says, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And we look again at Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7. It says, in whom we have redemption through His blood. So being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So redemption in Christ Jesus and redemption in whom we have redemption through His blood. So it's through Christ's blood that we have redemption. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. So we can see here again that we have redemption of redemption or forgiveness of His sins through Christ because of God's grace. And it's unexpected and it's undeserved. Number two, God has a special grace for each person. You each have grace that God has given you. He has plans for you and only you. So He has plans for your life. He has a purpose for it, to use you as His servant and as a blessing to others. God allows us to fulfill what He has called us to do. This is the grace of God. The Apostle Paul's life clearly shows God's grace. We read in Galatians chapter 1, verse 1, chapter 1, verse 13 through 16. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Well, see, God had a plan for Paul's life. Even though it seemed unlikely at first, even though Paul sought to destroy the Christian church, God's grace intervened. Paul deserved punishment, but God had mercy on him and instead used him to build His church throughout the Roman world. We are responsible to make the most of God's grace. You know, the circumstances in our lives aren't fair. A lot of people, you hear a lot of people, well, it's just not fair. Life's just not fair. Well, it's not. But regardless of those circumstances, God judges us fairly. We are judged according to the grace He has given us, our background, our resources, our surroundings, things that we had as we were growing up, the opportunities we did or didn't use to learn about Him and obey Him. Luke chapter 12, verse 47 through 48. Jesus says, "And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever which is given of him shall be much required, and to whom men have committed much of him, they will ask the more." You know, it's not our place to compare ourselves with others. Ask why me and not them, or why them and not me. God has given some people more opportunities than others, and with these opportunities come responsibility. And what matters is what we do with what God has given us. Can you identify God's grace in your life? You know, the more you mature as a Christian, the more you realize that all the good things in your life come from God. God's grace brought some of you here today to hear this message. Maybe you grew up in the church, had a parent or grandparent who prayed with you or for you. God intended for you to be here today. By God's grace, some of you have made it through difficult circumstances in your life because God was watching over you. God has especially equipped you to reach out to others coming from similar situations with God's love. You know, what better way to be able to help someone that's going through something that you've been through before? By God's grace, some of you were born into good families and never lacked anything. God did not give you these opportunities for you to be selfish or arrogant. By God's grace, some of you here are able to know God at an early age. You know, Paul said Timothy knew the scriptures from infancy. It was God's grace to Timothy that his mother and grandmother equipped him so that he was ready to join Paul at a young age. And Paul understood that it was only by God's grace that he was what he was. And he understood his responsibility to make the most of God's grace to him. God not only called him, but he allowed him to meet Barnabas and become a leader in the church at Antioch. God was with him as he endured so many hardships and pressed through so many challenges. All of this was done by the grace of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 9 through 10. "For I am the least of the apostles, that I'm not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me." You know, whatever circumstances life has given you, whatever circumstances life throws our way, we need to make the most of God's grace. Take what God has given us and use it to glorify Him. And we need to be careful not to miss the grace of God. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 through 17. "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears." The author of Hebrews warns us that we can miss the grace of God if we turn away from God because of sin. The bitter root is a reference to idolatry in Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 18, where it says, "Lest there shall be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord our God, to go and serve the gods of these nations, lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood. I believe this is a warning to Christians that we often have a choice between the grace of God in our lives or sin. You know, Esau is given as an example. Esau was Isaac's firstborn son, but he sold his birthright to Jacob for some soup. In Genesis, the Bible says that Esau despised his birthright, or at least he thought it was worth less than a bowl of soup that was set before him. When we are faced with sin, sometimes we give up the grace of God in our lives for something that only lasts a moment. I mean, I couldn't imagine a bowl of soup. I don't like soup to begin with, but giving up my birthright for a bowl of soup, I mean, that doesn't make sense. But there are the things in our lives that we give up. What we know is God's will, and we go towards something that's sin just because that's what we want to do at that time. And as I said, it lasts a moment, but God's love lasts forever. What would have happened if Abraham did not have Ishmael or David didn't murder Uriah? Things would have come out differently. I'm sure, you know, obviously history would be rewritten in a different way, but it's too late now. You know, it doesn't really matter. What matters is that we understand the consequences of missing the grace of God, steering ourselves away from sin and staying in His truth. God gives us abundant grace. You know, we've all taken God's grace for granted at some point in time in our lives. We've chosen temporary things over eternal things. We've preferred other things over God. Let's look at James chapter 4, verses 4 through 10. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do ye think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. If you feel despair because you've taken the grace of God for granted, know that God's grace is sufficient for you. He doesn't want us to sin, but he is ready to restore us and put us on the right track again. Read carefully the promises in verses 6 through 10. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. You know what the secret is to staying in God's grace? It's humility and being humble. We need God. Without him, we can do nothing. You'll see, Paul understood that secret. He understood humility and being humble. God allowed Paul to suffer a special difficulty that made Paul humble and dependent on God's grace. As we get closer to the end here, we're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 through 10. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. You see, Paul's got the right attitude here. He's like, whether I'm weak, sick, feeling down, being persecuted, or whatever, I will take pleasure in them because the Lord's grace is sufficient for me. He will make me strong even when I'm weak. Now, in conclusion, we need to remember that we have all received God's grace, but it's up to us to make the most of what God has given us. The tools are there. We just need to use them. We also need to make sure that we don't miss out on God's grace just so we can enjoy the lusts of the flesh. His grace is far more important than those things. Remember, God's grace is abundant. That doesn't mean we can live our lives like heathens and expect to receive His grace. We need to remember to be humble and draw near to Him so that He will come near to us, lift us up, and make us strong even when we feel weak. Can you identify God's grace in your life? I'll give you a hint. You're alive, and you're here today in His house this morning. Have you been taking God's grace for granted? He has given you His grace. What are you doing with it? He sent His only Son to die on the cross for your sins so that you can live life in eternity with Him in heaven. His grace is abundant and sufficient. He can cleanse you of your sins, completely wipe the slate clean, and create a new person in you.